Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is February the 28th. It's Wednesday, also known as Hump Day. Wednesdays often arrives with a sense of fatigue. The weekend still feeling distant and the week's task looming large. For some, it can feel like the hump day label doesn't do justice to the daunting slope that still lies ahead. The momentum of Monday's fresh start has waned, replaced by a sense of weariness and the urge to just throw in the towel. But remember, beloved, even the steepest mountain is climbed one step at a time. So don't get discouraged by the remaining climb. Instead, focus on the progress you've already made this week. Acknowledge the hurdles you've overcome and the task you've successfully completed. This simple act of gratitude can be a powerful source of strength, reminding you of your resilience and ability to persevere. So take a deep breath. You got this. Trust that the God above you who is working through you is greater than any situation that life throws at you. Remember, the view from the top will be all the sweeter knowing the journey you took to get there. Furthermore, consider this Wednesday a turning point. Use this midweek checkpoint to recharge and refocus your energy. Take a walk outside today. Listen to some uplifting music or connect with a loved one, because these small acts of self-care can work wonders in replenishing your spirit and reigniting your motivation to tackle the remaining task. Remember, even the smallest steps forward contribute to your overall progress. So approach this Wednesday with a renewed sense of purpose, knowing that you have the strength and determination to conquer this hump and reach the finish line. So I want to welcome you to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. If you're new to the call, my name is Marcus D. Collins, and I am blessed to lead a group of amazing people called Grace Community Church, and we are thrilled to share this space with you, this sacred space with you. We've been talking about the seduced soul, things, people, idols that seduces us away from God. I asked you at the start of the week to think about your idolatrous attachments. I want to share with you this morning one of mine. The thing I idolize the most that I have to keep before God is success. Success. Success is something inherently desirable but equally dangerous, depending on your definition of success. Now, I understand that God desires to give us life to the fullest, that God has plans and purposes for our lives that are far beyond our wildest dreams, that, you know, God has good works that he created for us to do before he even formed the earth. I understand that. But the thing that I struggle to accept is that success doesn't come from me or my abilities, but it comes from God and God alone. And so ambition has become my idol because I know that I have the ability to create certain realities. You see, I'm a generalist, not a specialist. Maybe that's a more fancier way of saying jack of all trades, master of none. You see, a specialist is someone who is an expert in a certain field of study, right? These individuals focus on a certain area or topic to build up and understanding in a specific niche. That's not me. That's never been me. A generalist is someone who is knowledgeable about many topics and has various interests, skills, and hobbies. People in leadership roles may be generalists since they perform multiple tasks, sometimes across, departments. Generalists understand all the moving parts of an industry and work well negotiating between departments, right? And so because I am a generalist, I struggle with the temptation of self-reliance. You see, a generalist, due to my versatility, I'm used to navigating challenges independently. I've learned to find solutions by drawing from multiple areas of knowledge, which can lead to an over-reliance on my own intellectual abilities and practical skills. And this constant self-reliance can create a false sense of independence, subtly, here it is, eroding my dependence on God's guidance and provision. And because I struggle in this area, I'm always in danger of having a divided focus. Because as a generalist, I naturally gravitate towards diverse interests and pursuits. And as a result of this, I can become scattered and lose focus. This lack of singular God-directed purpose can create a spiritual vacuum, leaving people like me susceptible to filling the void with idols like personal achievement. And because I have elevated my abilities over God, success and trying to achieve it has become my idol. But God had to remind me one day how he found me when he decided to use me. You see, 22 years ago, I was struggling in school, couldn't get it right. That was my condition when God found me. And when he called me, I reminded God of my limitations. And I told God that if you really want to use me to preach your word, two things: you got to give me something to say and a way to say it. That those were my two things that I said to God 22 years ago. And 22 years later, this is what I learned. One, God loves to take the insignificant and make them important to God's plans. Two, God loves to take nobodies and make them into somebodies in his kingdom. And three, God loves to take nothing and make it into something for God's glory. But watch this, because I'm about to mess you up. Knowing this still did not prevent me from turning success into my idol. Here it is, because somewhere in the midst of my small successes, I started to think that it was my ability instead of God's power sustaining my life. And so I started learning, and I started reading, and I started watching, and I started observing. But in the midst of me learning and reading and watching and observing, guess what? I stopped discerning. I'm going to help somebody this morning. And the moment I stopped discerning, though I was shooting a perfect shot, I was aiming at the wrong target. But had I kept learning and reading and watching and observing, all while praying and meditating, I would have been discerning as to which targets to aim at. All I'm trying to tell you is nothing or nobody can fill the empty places in your life but God. I don't care how well they cook, how straight their teeth are, how much money they make. Nothing can satisfy your soul but Jesus and him alone. That's my conviction. Please, beloved, don't downplay the power of discernment. Discernment is like a spiritual compass helping us navigate life's complexities by aligning our choices with God's will and keeping us on his path. Idolatry, however, acts like a powerful magnet, distorting that compass and making discernment extremely difficult. You see, when we place other things before God, whether it's material possessions, self-fulfillment, relationships, or any other desire, our priorities become clouded. So instead of seeking God's wisdom and guidance, we rationalize our choices based on what, here it is, benefits us in that moment, aligning with our own earthly desires rather than God's will. You've had 3 days to identify your idols. I just told you one of mine. So now this is what I want you to do. Tear them down. They got to come down. It got to come down. Judges chapter 6, verse 25 says, that same night the Lord said to them, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. God didn't say manage it. God didn't say balance it. God did not say entertain it, but God said, somebody said it on the line, I'm sure, tear it down. Gideon wondered, if God is with Israel, then why has God allowed us to be overpowered by the Midianites? The reason was Israel's unfaithfulness to God. And God was like, the first step toward deliverance for Israel was to destroy the pagan Baal altar and the Asherah pole that had been set up in the town. You see, church, the road to restoration and deliverance begins with tearing down what is false and instead offering up worship and devotion to the one true God. And, you know, we just like Gideon, aren't we? When we face difficult situations in life, we ask the same question. If God is with me, why is this happening? Church, God's faithfulness is never the issue. But the road to restoration and deliverance begins with honest reflection. Lord, search my heart. Lord, help me recognize the idols that I have erected and the ways I have let them distort and diminish my devotion for you, and give me the courage, here it is, to tear them down. Anything in our hearts and lives that are more important to us than God is an idol, and it must be torn down. And after you tear it down, here's what you need to do. Fill your soul with God. Psalm 84:2 says, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And then Psalm 107:9 put it this way, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. And then Psalm 42:1-2 says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? But let's be honest. The language we just heard in those verses, most of us, we don't use that language for God, right? Most people don't say my soul yearns for God, I'm thanks for God, hungers for God. When do we normally use that kind of language? We often use it for things of the world. My soul longs for more things, faints for more things, gotta have it, need more things. I crave more of what this world has to offer. But church, if we ain't using this language for our God that woke us up this morning and put breath in our lungs and and strengthen our bodies, then that means that our soul has been seduced by the world, and the thing that we crave is the very thing that cannot satisfy. When the psalmist used words like yearn, faint, thirst, hunger to describe what his soul needs, he identified the source that can satisfy his deepest longings. Max Licata tells the story of how three friends were walking along the beach and noticed a fish flopping around the shore. One person wondered if the fish was sad because it didn't seem to own anything nice. So he bought the fish a gold watch and set it beside him. But nope, it made no difference. It still just flopped around. Another wondered if a nice house wouldn't do the trick. So she got a nice little castle from Toys R Us, but that didn't make a difference either. A third person got a masseuse to come and give the fish a massage. But the fish didn't seem impressed. It just continued to flop around. And they just stood there scratching their heads. They were clean out of ideas. What did the fish need? The fish needed water. Why? Because the fish was not created for the beach, but the fish was created for the water. God Almighty. Now, I know that's a silly story, but it has a big application. You and I behave in a similar way. Because we try to satisfy our most important needs with less important things. In John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." The water was to that fish what the living waters of Jesus are to us, essential. And when we try to satisfy our deepest desires with anything other than Jesus, we're just flopping around on the beach. I'm done. I know y'all didn't get up for all this morning. So if your life is empty, this is what I want you to do. Here it is. Lower your expectations of what you hope to get out of this world. Because you were not created for this world. You were created for the kingdom of God and his glory, and your soul will never be satisfied by anything that this world has to offer. You have to get this. Knowing this will prevent your soul from being seduced and drawn away from God. Lower your expectations. Lower your expectations of what you hope to get out of this world. Because, beloved, we were not created for this world. Our soul is not our body. Oh, but one of these days, it's going to be moving day. I feel churchy right up and through here. And there's nothing wrong with moving when we got somewhere to move to. And on that day, our bodies will no longer be able to contain our soul. It'll have too many holes and leaks in it. Cancer may cause it to break down. Sickness and old age may cause it to break down. An accident may cause it to break down. We don't know the when and we don't know the where. But child of God, moving day will be here after a while. And I'm here to tell you, ain't nothing wrong with moving when your soul got somewhere to move to. So we pray together this morning, Father, that in your presence, the power of your Holy Spirit, we're asking that it would pierce our hearts with truth. And God, that we would be transformed. Father, I thank you so much for those who truly desire to put you ahead of the things that seduce our souls. And God, for those who aren't there yet, I pray, God, that the emptiness of the things of this world would overwhelm them so that they would truly know the beauty of you filling our soul with the good things of God. We're seduced into thinking that all of the meaning and purpose in life is going to come while we are a fish on the beach. But Father, we weren't created for the beach. We were created for the ocean. We were created for the kingdom of God. And the only way that we can really be full is to deal with integrity with the greatest problem that we have, and that is our sin nature. Our sin nature that separates us from you and leads us toward pursuing things that are not of you. But Father, we rejoice in the good news of the gospel, and that is you love us. And in your love, you sent Jesus, who was without sin, to become sin for us, to die on the cross and to be raised again, so that anyone that calls on his name will be saved and set free and delivered and transformed and will be changed. And so, Father, help us on today realize that if we put our trust in you, our souls will find rest in you. So, Father, I speak enough in this atmosphere that we will come to the point this day where we say enough is enough. I surrender. I'm going to tear down my idols and fill my soul with you. Father, we love you today. We praise you and we magnify your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Every heart say amen and amen. Hey, listen, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I pray that the call was a blessing to you. It'll be uploaded to our website today at gracechurchal.com. It'll give you an opportunity to go back and listen to the previous mornings if this is your first time on the call. Hey, listen, I'm praying for you today. I am rooting for you today. Be in prayer for Grace and all of our volunteers as we prepare to serve our community with our client choice food pantry that'll be going on today from 10 to 12 p.m. Hey, listen, y'all be careful today. Be watchful and be encouraged. Peace.